You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're here with Mike Valdez Fowley.
There you go.
He's CEO and president of Pinta. They're the Hispanic marketing firm based here in town, but they're international in scope. And we're talking about marketing your business to the Hispanic community. Now, Mike, I was watching TV the other day, and I pushed the wrong button. I went a little south of Fox News, and I hit Fusion TV. And, you know, they were just doing some talking back and forth. I kind of watched it. They were actually interviewing Arianna Huffington, which I found to be amazing, having a European lady talking on Fusion TV out. And I guess she was in West State at the time. And right after that, they showed this TV show that I really enjoyed called Boleteros. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right.
Amazingly, you didn't screw one up.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the baseball in me, the pelotas in me. in any event, you know, so Fusion TV, obviously creating a vehicle to market to the emerging single language Hispanic market?
Yeah, it's a you know, developing trend that I think Univision and their corporate partner, ABC Disney Television Group, are trying to capitalize on, and that's a U.S. Hispanic that is predominantly speaking English. And I think it's an interesting play. Their success is yet to be determined. I think they're struggling a little bit with ratings at the moment. From a business perspective, that's one comment I'll make. But from a cultural perspective, I think it's fantastic. Again, back to my earlier point that the Hispanic market is not homogenous and not all Hispanics are created equal. So they don't all want to watch Sábado Gigante and novellas on Univision. Some of them might be interested in Arianna Huffington interviews in English.
It was actually awesome. I watched for a solid 5 or 10 minutes. And, you know, it made me come up with some other questions because, you know, this is a kind of anglicized approach to the Hispanic market. It got me. I mean, I'm married to a Latina, so right. I'm sort of like one of those in-between people.
Right.
You know, and we were talking a little bit about some of the misconceptions about the Latino market, that it's all one silo. What are some of the other myths or misconceptions out there?
Sure. Good question. So I think, you know, the other big one is that Hispanics are not tech savvy and that they're all in this analog world with, you know, house phones instead of
flip phones.
Cell phones. Right, exactly. But that could not be further from the truth, Jim. It's actually proven that Hispanics over-index on everything, including smartphone adoption, texting, downloading of rich multimedia content, social media usage across platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. So the Hispanic market is ripe for tech companies to target them. We're actually proud to work with some like T-Mobile, Facebook, Airbnb, and others. So I think it's exciting that Hispanics are not only growing in size, but rapidly adopting technology too.
We need to get you with Manny Medina and the rest of the eMERGE guys, because eMERGE was just awesome.
One step ahead of you, Jim. We're actually working with Manny and Technology Foundation of the Americas. We helped promote the eMERGE conference. And I think it was a huge step, not only for the Hispanic market, but also for Miami, which is rapidly becoming this mecca for tech and becoming the Silicon Valley of Latin America.
You know, now that kind of gets us sort of edging into the next little major leg of the chair, if you will, for the Miami economy, and that's obviously real estate international condo sales.
Yep.
I think that everybody in Miami has certainly been exposed to the fact that there is a different way to look at real estate, that the Latinos don't mind putting a lot of equity into the deals, and that's really helping to capitalize some of these buildings down here on Brickell Avenue. In fact, I like to say sometimes that Pedro from Peru is funding the condo that Pete from Brooklyn's going to end up moving into. Hopefully he wasn't rooting for the Nets last night, or he broke his heart right there. How are you seeing the different marketing materials being translated? I guess adapted to the use in Latin America, and are they keeping them flexible enough so that when things slow down, the pipeline from New York starts to re-energize, that they'll be able to flip and use that to market to the historic markets?
So to answer the second question first, I'm actually quite bullish on the real estate market down here, and I don't think that the two different markets are mutually exclusive. We can continue to see a boom from New York as well as Latin America kind of at the same time. And then in terms of how people market to them, I think it's a matter of, again, going local and being relevant. The relevance, of course, comes with adapting the imagery and visuals on advertisements to make it look perhaps like you could fit your entire family in some cases, or having Latino people, protagonists in the ads, as opposed to blonde hair, blue eyes people when you're marketing in Latin America. The other one is actually going down to these countries and setting up sales centers, marketing materials in Spanish and Portuguese, getting down out there in the community and talking about what Miami has to offer is something too few companies have done. And those that have really seen the fruits of that labor.
Now, let's say that I'm a tech startup company, had a lot of success, got through the first round, got angel funding. Now I'm into the second round and they want me to expand to become bi-coastal. How do I have to change what I'm doing in Miami so that I fit in San Diego and L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we're trying to do, frankly, is prevent people from having to go bi-coastal. You want to have your headquarters here in Miami, and you do not need to be in Palo Alto or Silicon Valley. So I think we really want to push the concept that the VC firms, the PE firms, the attorneys, the startups, the legacy companies like IBM, Hewlett-Packard, and Microsoft who want to put LATAM headquarters, all of them can find a home and be extremely successful right here in Miami without going west.
Now, one of the things, and again, I just got to sometimes be real estate centric. I apologize.
No, please.
Up in Atlanta, they have the regional sales force for whatever, and they take 150,000 square feet. They have a building. Here, they have the Latin American sales force, and it's two guys in an office in Coral Gables. That's got to be changing.
Right. Yeah, we're certainly hoping that that will. I think you mentioned Manny Medina, and he really is a pioneer in this play, and he's trying to convince people it doesn't just have to be your LATAM HQ. It could be a huge hub of innovation and technology. The universities are making a big push for that as well. We've seen a few companies, if I could throw out some examples. I have no involvement with them, so I'm not selling anything. But Open English, a good friend of mine named Andres Moreno started that company. Started it about 5 years ago from his apartment in Miami. And it's now raised about $155 million and has about 2,000 employees across Latin America as an online English language school. He never had to go to Palo Alto or Silicon Valley to start a booming tech company. Another one called .co, which is sort of instead of .com or .biz or .gov, these guys started .co, and they just had an exit of $108 million last week. Again, all of that in Miami in the last 3 years. So I think we're rapidly seeing a shifting tide develop where Miami can be a standalone center of excellence.
Well, you know, after the show, we have to get together and talk about how we're going to do our $150 million exit. Now, Mike, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to put it out there. What are you trying to achieve with your firm? I know you broke off, or I guess it's still aligned with a big international firm. How does that all work? What's your business model?
Great, thanks. So, you know, Jeffrey Group is a firm that I had been with for 10 years and served as president for three of those. And they've been around for a few decades as an industry-leading public relations firm targeting Latins. For those of you that aren't as familiar with the jargon, that's mostly press releases, convincing reporters to write positive articles and throwing events. But what I've always had sort of an itching to do is advertising, which is producing television and billboards and buying the media and keeping the commission. And I think quite a creative part of the marketing umbrella. So we spun off the whole the U.S. division of Jeffrey Group into a new agency called Pinta. That just launched in the New York Times, we're proud to say, in January of this year. And we're off to the races. We're working, as I said, with Facebook, Johnny Walker, TD Bank, T-Mobile, Miami Marlins, and others. And, you know, the future looks bright. There's a lot of room for growth, focusing on U.S. Hispanic and being able to offer clients every tool in the toolbox.
If you had the chance, I'm going to give you the chance. Sitting here on the sidelines, my favorite faux pas, if you will, for Hispanic marketing was the Chevy Nova.
Right.
Is there anybody out there that's doing it ugly right now?
I think there's probably, with famous examples like that one, there's been a little bit more trepidation, thank gosh. And people understand that they need to be a little bit more careful. I would say it's less comical examples and more just people that aren't getting it right. And the way you don't notice it is because they're not selling to the Hispanics, because Hispanics see right through it. So I think hiring an outside expert, perhaps a self-serving plug right there.
Hold on. Self-serving plug alert. Go ahead.
So I think hiring an outside expert who does nothing but focus on the Hispanic market is probably the best way to go.
Since you gave a self-serving plug, why don't you tell people how to find you if they want some more information on marketing to this, if you're an Anglo, marketing to the Hispanic environment, or if you're Hispanic and want to just get your platform up and running, how do people find you, man?
Yeah, our website is sort of the point of entry. You can find all of my personal contact information as well as info about the company at www.pintausa.com. That's PINTAUSA.com.
Well, we've got a couple of more minutes. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make a shameless pitch right now. I hope you'll come back because you've been terrific and even got Oscar on the horn there, which he almost never talked. Oscar, is that because I had a butcher the Spanish language to get you on the air? Yeah, he's just nodding. He's nodding. Yes, he's nodding.
Hopefully next time you'll pronounce my name correctly and not talk about Doritos quite as much.
Fowley, right?
Close enough.
All right. You're going to train me. You're going to train me. And your brother's sitting there. It's like for him, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard. Right. So what would be the most important thing somebody could do off the shelf for themselves right now to move their firm more towards an even-handed approach to the Hispanic market?
Yeah, I think the first thing you could say is that every single person listening to this should be targeting the Hispanic community. It's no longer about, is my product a good fit for that, or am I niche enough that Latinos would like it? If you're talking about almost 20% of the total population, and in Miami, where most of your listeners are, it's something like 60%, you can't ignore the entire majority of your community. So you should be doing Hispanic marketing right now if you're not. And the second thing I'd say is start talking to someone, whether it's an in-house person that you hire or an external expert, to really take your brand and try to adapt it. Try to figure out how we take the normal messages that have resonated with Anglos and make sure that they're culturally relevant for Hispanics. Perhaps you have a Spanish language version of your website, creating some goodwill with the community with very small but impactful donations, hiring a person, either internal or external, to serve as a spokesperson so that you can actually speak in Spanish about your great product. So pretty basic stuff, but too few companies are doing it.
You know, this has been absolutely terrific. I hope that you'll continue to come on our show. I hope you'll at least give me a little bit of a break and some coaching on helping my show get to be more acceptable and more accessible, I think, is the best way to say it, to the Latino and Hispanic market. Again, if people want to find out about you, they go to your website. It's
PintaUSA.com.
And if they want to call you,
they're welcome to do so, and all of those numbers are on that website.
I love a guy who drives all his stuff right to his content. Mike Valdez.
Fowley.
Thank you. All right. We'll be back. He calls me Jim Fried off the air all the time. We've had a great time. Everybody stay dry. You'll want to be here in the second half of the show. I'm going to talk about all kinds of really cool things that are going on that pique my interest, and I'm going to have two of the most powerful words I heard today. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. Back after this, Oscar, drive us out of here. Your house.